The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and above the fabulous Alto Forno restaurant. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're in the process of getting your Christmas and holiday shopping done. It is that time of year. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. You know, I celebrate Hanukkah. My family celebrates Hanukkah. And so that's coming up Sunday, today, tonight. Oh, yeah, it starts tonight. Oh, yeah. But we was talking to the kids during Thanksgiving, and I'm asking the kid, we realized we hadn't bought the kids anything for Hanukkah yet. And so as we're kind of sitting around the Thanksgiving Day table and talking afterwards and listening to the kids talk with other people about what they might want for Hanukkah, things they were interested in, all that stuff, I did about 60% of my Hanukkah shopping on my phone during Thanksgiving. Because as soon as they said something, I went to Amazon.com, found it, bought it, one click, purchase, done. So this past week, I've just had this onslaught of boxes being delivered to my office in Peabody, but that's okay. It's all working, and I didn't even have to leave the house. Now, I feel bad because last week also, I visited on Monday with my good friend Mark Whiting, who's the general manager over at the North Shore Mall, to talk about how he's planning up for Black Friday, or how we plan for Black Friday, and what the next few weeks will hold over at the mall. And man, is he excited about what is happening over at the North Shore Mall. I got the inside scoop. We ended up having lunch over at the Bancroft restaurant, and he filled me in on all the stuff that's going on at the mall, as well as what's still to come. Lots of great things going on over there. I'll give you a little tease, because what I'm going to do is I promised Mark that after the Christmas holiday that I would have him on this show in January so he can share that same level of enthusiasm that he has about what is happening at the mall. Because as you well know, the malls have to reinvent themselves in order to create an environment where you want to go. Because if the malls were just there for shopping, they'd go out of business. Because as you just heard me say, I did 60% of my Hanukkah shopping on my phone, and it was easy. I didn't even have to leave my house. I could watch the ball game or watch my kids sing karaoke while I was buying them Hanukkah presents, which was kind of interesting. At any rate, Mark was telling me that, yes, it is true. Sears is coming down. Yeah, that big, big brick eyesore that sits along the side of the North Shore Mall will soon disappear, probably sometime after the snow is gone. So figure spring, they're going to figure out a way to do it. I said, are we going to have one of these big implosion parties and things like that, that you see the stadiums that go down? He says they haven't figured out, they haven't finalized who the contractor is going to be that's going to take the thing down yet, but it will be removed. And so the whole goal is to extend the promenade that they've developed that starts over where Bancroft is, and you now have Cafe Nero. You've got a couple new restaurants that are coming in. What was that? Tony C's is over there. Tony's throwing up. He just likes to say his name over and over. My producer's Tony. He says, you know, Tony C's. Of course, Tony. I know. And there's something tavern. It starts with a T. They're up in New Hampshire. They're going to be open up Tuckaway Tavern, I think it's called. They're going to be opening up a place. It's not going to be called Tuckaway Tavern. It's called something else that will be at the mall along that food court promenade area outside. Then there'll also be, if you like, what is the name of Casablanca? If you like to go to Casablanca in Andover and North Andover, Casablanca is going to open up with a new Mexican restaurant that will be along the side of right after where Joe's Bar and Grill is. It's on the other side of the doorway entrance. That's going to be going on over there. That'll be sometime later next year. A couple more restaurants going in, and then once Sears is gone, then they'll continue that promenade to continue all the way down towards Macy's. One other thing that I learned was that they are looking for some type of entertainment venue. You've seen like King's Bowling and Lucky Strike and all those places that are popping up. They want to try to put one of those entertainment venues down there. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Tesla, as you well know, is going in over where the Automotive Center is, where Sears Automotive Center. That is a definite. Tesla is going on over there. Mark was telling me that the challenge is they've had some environmental not issues that they have to make sure environmental issues are all taken care of before you bring in these new vehicles. And where the Sears Automotive Center has been there for so many years, they had to dig. He says, I think we could have dug to China and found some of the other cars that are being made in China, because they had to dig out where any type of oil sediment or deposits might have been. Think about all the oil changes and all the oil that's just kind of fallen and seeped through the cement and the concrete and the cracks and everything that was over there with the Automotive Center. That's all been cleared out. So lots and lots of changes going on over at the North Shore Mall. They really want to create a local experience with some of the national brands as well. I think you've seen what's the place from the Sloops? Who does the Sloops over in Salem? Harbor Suites. They have a venue that's over there. I think one of the dog places or one of the pet places has opened up a shop over at the mall. Some of the local venues are going to start going on over there. I think you're really, really going to enjoy what's happening at the North Shore Mall. So keep an eye on that one. Lots of changes there. Lots of ways to keep the mall experience within our community, really try to embrace the whole local spirit. And that's what we do here at North Shore 104.9 as well. We are keeping it local. I am a local guy. I grew up in Peabody, went to Peabody High School, graduated Peabody High School. Yes, I did. Peabody, proud public school graduate. Went off to graduate from Babson College out in Wellesley, but then came back here. I was the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Peabody. I've been with Friedman Financial since 1991. My father started the firm back in 1968 when nobody knew what financial planning really even was. So we celebrated our 50th anniversary this past year, approaching year 51 when we turn the page going into 2019. My business partner, who you've heard here on the radio in the past, her name is Marion Gilman. She's been with me celebrating her 19th year with us. Not here today. She was actually away this past week enjoying a visit to Germany. She actually went with her family to Germany for the Thanksgiving holiday. Went away for that, so she didn't have a turkey, I'm sure. It might be bratwurst and beer for Thanksgiving. I'm not quite sure what she had, but Marion's the foodie type, so I'm sure she found all sorts of interesting items, and perhaps we'll have her back on the show as well. In fact, I know I'll have her back on the show, and she can tell about her Germany experience that she had. Anyways, we are oftentimes here provide financial advice in a language you can understand. In fact, it's more often than often. It's pretty regularly that we do it. And these days, it seems like everybody's got an opinion when it comes to financial advice, because this market has been crazy, huh? It's been up, it's been down, it's been up, it's been down, it's been up, it's been down. It's been back and forth, sideways. What it starts off one day, the direction that it's heading one day doesn't end up in the same direction towards the end of the day. And sometimes it goes up and down and up and down during the course of the day. So when you open up, I don't know why I still do this, but when I get up in the morning, I go to my CNBC app, I look to see, oh, what are the futures looking like today? How's the market going to open? And I see that, and for whatever reason, I'm still sucked into the fact that, oh, that must be the direction that the market's going to go in today. And 50% of the time, I think I'm wrong. So one of the things that I think you all know that we talk about here on the radio is that I'm not one that talks about the directional movement of the markets on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, because frankly, when you're dealing with financial planning, when you're dealing with investment advice, long-term investment advice. The day-to-day fluctuations of the market simply don't matter. They don't at all. You've got to create a strategy that allows you to set up a portfolio so that you can, for the most part, forget about it. So that you can go on and live the rest of your life, do what you want, spend the money that you want to spend in an appropriate manner that fits within the budget and lifestyle of your situation. And that's oftentimes what we spend more time doing at Friedman Financial than anything else. Yeah, we build your portfolio. Yes, we invest money for you. Yeah, we can handle your IRA rollovers and your 401k rollovers and set up your investment strategies and send you money and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to what your lifestyle is like and understanding it. Understanding what it is that you hope to do when there's no longer a paycheck coming into the house. Understanding what you're going to do when you're not leaving the house to go and earn a paycheck. What's going to happen when you stop working and you wake up at whatever time? You wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and you realize, I got nowhere to go. No one is going to get mad at me if I sleep a little later because I don't have to be at work. And all of a sudden, you have to find new sets of responsibilities and new things to do and new friends to have and new rekindling of a courtship with your spouse or your partner because you guys are going to be spending a lot of time looking at each other. You used to be able to escape. You used to be able to get up in the morning, take a shower, get dressed, and leave and say, oh, 8 hours, 10 hours. Then I'll go back. We'll say nice. We'll have dinner together. We'll watch a movie. We'll chat for a little bit. We'll go off to bed. Next morning, freedom again. And I get to get out and I get to, you know, come and go as I please. Now you're at home. Both of you. Trust me, it's not just you. The one that stays home feels the same way too. I can't tell you how many spouses have come into my office saying, oh my God, he's home all day now. I don't know what to do with him. It's a challenge. But those are the things that we do. I find myself half the time talking about therapy issues, I think, in my office than anything else. It's getting used to living with someone who you've actually lived with for 20 or 30 years, but actually living with them for a longer period of time. So it comes to the therapy part. It comes to the money part. It comes to the spending part. And then there's all of the experience that fall around that with the kids, with the parents, with the neighbors, with the holidays, with whatever else it might be. And when you read on your phone, when you're watching on television, when you're hearing conversations at the coffee shop about the volatility of the market, and everybody has an opinion as to why it's happening, it adds a new layer of stress. And so what our job is at Friedman Financial and what I try to do here on this radio show is to try to provide you, sure, financial advice in a language you can understand. But what that means, it's providing rational guidance during emotional times. And that is where we're at right now. It gets a little emotional. You're going to open up your November statement and you're going to say, wait a second, I thought things were getting better after my really lousy October statement. And maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but it's nothing back to what you remember was the high point of your portfolio. It's always interesting that when people open up their investment statement and they see a high point on their statement, or they see a high point on the phone, because you can pretty much get the value of your investment accounts, of your portfolio on your phone, on your tablet, whatever it is, that number seems to be what everybody thinks is, aha, that's my new principal. That's the new number where if it falls below that, I'm in trouble. No, you can't do that. But it's hard not to do that. You see, since 2009, when the market hit its bottom after a very long, or an 18-month downturn, I should say. Very long. Is 18 months very long? I don't think so. After an 18-month downturn, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hovered in the 6,000s, and now it's at 24, 25, 22, what, doesn't matter. Say 20-plus thousand from 6,000? That's a lot. But now we're worried because the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been wobbling between 24,000 and 26,000. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Should we be worried about that? No. And when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about all the things that you should be considering. I've got a story that comes out of Jonathan Clements' blog. Jonathan Clements used to write for the Wall Street Journal. He was a personal finance columnist. He now does a free blog that's called The Humble Dollar. And he wrote a piece that was called The View From Here. And he offers some perspectives on really how to look at this marketplace. And when we get back, I want to share some of his thoughts with you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. You can actually see the sign on our building now because the leaves on the trees are gone. So as you're driving up Cross Street, or you're driving out of Shaw's Supermarket, or you're coming out of Macy's, you look up and you say, ooh, there's a white building there, and you can see the name on my building. We love it over there. It's a great opportunity to have a bird's eye view of what's going on across the street. And over the next 12 months, I should say 24 months, the transition that is going to happen over, the transformation, I should call it, that will happen at the North Shore Mall is going to be absolutely amazing. And I'm loving the opportunity that I will have a bird's eye view. The first thing I'm looking forward to more than anything else is watching the destruction and demolition of the Sears building. We're going to get rid of that eyesore that's been there since they had the toy soldiers at the end of the North Shore Mall. You all remember that. If you've been from Peabody, you certainly know that I've been from Peabody for a long time. I remember at 5 years old, going around in a circle on those little boats in the water, or sitting on those motorcycles that would drive around in a circle and watching the toy soldiers. This was long before there was a roof over the mall. Remember, it was just, you could walk through the mall. You walked through it, but there was no roof there. I was there when there was Almy's. I was there. Oh, my God. I've been there a long time. I was there when they actually sold the real life Jordan Marsh blueberry muffins. That's right. And they didn't sell them at a stand. They actually sold them inside Jordan Marsh. They had a hairdresser inside Jordan Marsh. Oh, man, we've been around for a long time. Yeah, you know, it happens. What can I tell you? It's all good. And the mall has changed and transitioned a lot. It will look different. And I told you in the earlier segment that I met with Mark Whiting, who's been the general manager at the mall for almost as long as I've been doing this. And he told me how excited he is about what is to come. And frankly, the amount of money that Simon Properties is putting into the expansion here at the mall. That's what he's excited about. Simon believes that this will become a destination spot here on the North Shore. So let's hope. By the way, there's also a big gym that's going to be coming. I think it's called Lifetime Fitness or Anytime Fitness. I don't know, something like that. It's going to be huge. Lots of stuff coming. Anyways, I told you when we last left that we've all seen this market get a little rocky. Some people refer to it as a bungee market, you know, like bungee jump, bounce, 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 bounce. A roller coaster market, yes, it's been that. But what's rather been interesting is if you think about a roller coaster, usually a roller coaster, when you're coming out of the gate, let's say you're at Canobie Lake, right? You're at roller coaster. The first thing you do is you go around the corner, you start off the beginning of the roller coaster, and it goes up, 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 right? It's going up, 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 up. That's exactly what happened this January. right? The market started the year going up, 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 went almost up 10% in about 6 weeks. And then you hit the top and boom, did it go down. It actually went down more than what it even went up for the year. And then it started getting rocky and started getting rocky. And then all of a sudden we hit another hill and we started climbing, 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 climbing. We did that around May and June of this past year. And then we went back down again. We spun around a little bit. We went up, we went down, we went up, we went down. It was a little volatile. And we started climbing, 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 climbing again as we hit towards October. And then, boom, hit another one. But this time, it wasn't a straight down. It was kind of like this spiral thing where you're going around and around because you just don't know. Is it over? Is it over? Is it over? Is it over? And that's kind of where we are approaching as we head into December. And chances are, like the roller coaster, we're going to end up pretty much where we started. That's what this year has been like. Has there been a good time to buy in this market? Has there been a bad time to buy in this market? Well, yeah, there's been a bad time if you're a short-term investor. And that's when you were feeling really, really, really good about the market. If there's any lesson to be learned, if you're an investor in the market and you see rocky times or volatility ahead, you may want to take an approach that's called dollar cost averaging. You see, buying on a regular, rational, committed basis. Let's say you want to buy the first of the month, every month for the next 12 months or the next forever months. When you do that, you don't worry about where the market is. You totally remove the direction of the market out of the picture. You see, what if you said to yourself, wow, the market was going really, really, really well at the beginning of January. Oh, it looks like it's heading in and it's just unstoppable. I've got to buy now. And frankly, that's what happened with a lot of these people who were playing the cryptocurrency game. A lot of people who were following the stock market game. They bought when things were looking really good. And then as soon as things were looking really good, when everybody was buying, the market then came back and dropped. Now, what do we do there? Do you have the discipline to buy when the market's down? That's what most people don't have the discipline to do. But if you're set up on something that's called a systematic investment program or dollar cost averaging program, where you say, take $500 out of my investment account, out of my bank account every month and invest. Take $100 out and invest. You know, you do that. Most people who listen to this radio show have a 403B or a 401K. And you do that every single pay period. You have money put into these programs. You're not thinking about where the market is. You're just having the money done. You set it, you forget it, you invest it, and it just keeps going. And those, my friends, are the smartest investors that are out there. Those that try to predict when's the best time to get in, when's the best time to get out, what's the best sector to buy, what's the best sector to walk away from. You, my friends, are fools. And I say that over and over and over again. If you think the next dry, like some people will say, well, Mark, I think the next big move is in cannabis stocks, or I think the next move is in robotics or in satellites. You know, you may be right. But picking the sector that's right and picking the investment that's right are two different things, and also knowing when to get out, because sectors move in rotational manners, and they're not the same cyclical rotational manners, directions. Some go up, some go down. Like, look, we're going to always have to buy toilet paper, I think. We all have to buy toilet paper. We all have to buy toothbrushes. We all have to buy shampoo and soap and basic food products, milk and eggs and all that kind of stuff. You're always going to buy those. Should that be a sector of the market that that has good years and bad years? Well, I think that could be a sector that could have better years than others when other sectors are outperforming and underperforming. But I got to believe that the toilet paper sector has got to be a pretty stable sector. Would you not think? I mean, so why don't we just invest in toilet paper or razors or shampoo or you can start to invest in things like telecommunications or technology or gold or real estate. Do you want to try to pick the trend that works? That's crazy. Because you know what? You might have an infatuation with a particular sector for a little while, and then it goes away. Think about how much of an infatuation you once had for having to watch American Idol, or having to watch the television series 24, or This Is Us, or St. Elmo's Fire, or whatever it was. What was the impassioned television show that you watched and you loved it and everybody talked about it? It was all water cooler conversation. And then what happens? It goes away. It goes away. That's the same thing that happens with the way we pick our investments. We get all excited about something. Look, everybody's been following the story of in Leicester, Massachusetts, and in Northampton, Massachusetts, of the two cannabis stores that have opened up to sell marijuana legally. Now, people are saying, oh, if that's going so well, I got to buy cannabis stocks now. I will tell you, 2 more weeks from now, that will not even be a mention on the evening news. It won't be a mention even in your Facebook feeds. Something new will happen. Something new always happens. If we keep trying to chase trends, you're in trouble. My job has always been to stay rational during emotional times. You buy quality, you buy a great mix of investments, and over time, you should outperform just one particular movement of a sector. Now, you're going to look this year, you're going to get your November statement, and you're going to think to yourself, well, this was a lousy year. I lost money this year. You know what? Losing money can mean a lot of things. If you had invested $100,000 at the beginning of this year, and today it's worth $98,000, is that considered a bad year? No. If your portfolio is set up properly, things don't always go up. Now, if you had $100,000 and it was worth $50,000 at the end of the year, yeah, I might be a little bit more upset. But $98,000, that's a 2% drop. 2%. Now, what most people are looking at, by the way, is they're looking at the performance of their accounts right now from the beginning of the year to where they are today. And that's what most people do when they look at the performance of their accounts, because they still rely on that paper statement. You know what's interesting? If you were to look back 1 more month or 2 more months, do a rolling 12 months from November to November, from December to December, from October to October, you'll realize, you know what? You're not down that much. It's very possible that your account is up. Because last quarter of 2017 was a pretty good quarter. But we reset ourselves. You need to think bigger than what happened over the past few months. If you pick up any app that's out there right now, whether you use, I don't know, Fidelity's app or Morgan Stanley's app or the app that we provide, whatever the app is that you might use, I hate that when you look at your first look of your account, it tells you how you're doing year to date. That's not telling you anything. You didn't manage your money or didn't buy investments on a year-to-date basis. You bought it for the long term. How's it doing over 3 years or 5 years or 10 years? And you know what else is interesting? The best way to tell performance on an investment account is if you invest it and leave it alone. You see, if you've been adding money on an ongoing basis, or if you've been taking money out on an ongoing and/or periodic basis, you can no longer compare the performance of your account to the market. Because when you're looking at the performance of the market doesn't assume that any money was taken out or any money was added. But if your account had money added to it or had money taken out, you have a whole different set of factors that contribute to the performance of your account. That's why sometimes it's important to sit down with a professional. Someone that will help you understand what it is that you're doing, because reports continue to come out year after year. And J.P. Morgan put on another report just this quarter, which has not changed, frankly, over the past 10 or 15 years, is that the average return on the S&P 500 on a 20-year average basis has been around 9%. If you had invested 100% of your money in the S&P 500, it's averaged 9%, okay? The average investor over the past 20 years has averaged 2.5%. Now, why is that? It's because the average investor adds money, takes money out, tries to move in and out of an investment, tries to build a different strategy, moves to this, moves to that, gives money to this kid, receives an inheritance, puts money in at different times. The S&P 500 did nothing. It invested money 20 years ago, and it just let it go through all of the hills and valleys. It went through 9/11. It went through presidential elections. It's gone through wars. It's gone through everything. Good times and bad times, average nine. But here's the kicker to it all. Over the past 20 years, how many one-year returns, how many times during that 20-year period of time, how many times during that, those 20 years did the market perform in any one given year at 9%? The answer is zero. The market never returned 9% for the year, yet its average is 9% for the year. What that tells you is when you're investing, you need to be prepared to go both over your expectations and under your expectations to get an average expectation when the long term is done. That, my friends, is very difficult. That is when emotions get in the way of building a rational strategy. But what I've just explained to you is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. Look, the markets have been up and down. We've had a lot of volatility in the markets. And it's been like what I just explained. It's been a true roller coaster ride, both the ups, the downs, the twists, the turns, the round and round and round we go, because chances are very good that we could end this year at the same place we started, despite the fact that we were periods of time we were up 10%, down 10%, up 6, down 3, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It could just end up being close to a flat year for the S&P 500. But remember, most people who invest don't just invest in the S&P 500. In fact, a good investor, a smart investor, is going to build a portfolio that includes several asset classes, that builds a structure that isn't designed to mirror the stock market, but it's not designed to build a strategy, a long-term strategy, that will help provide you the growth and perhaps the income that you will need throughout the rest of your life. You know, one of the areas that's really been hurt this year, if you've decided to move towards international investing, and we absolutely believe that there is a slot in your portfolio that deserves international investing. And international investing has been hurt badly this year. International, you can find international investments that are down 10 to 20% right now. If you go towards emerging markets investments in, say, China, in Vietnam, in Russia, in Brazil, in places like that, in India, those investments have really been hurt this year. Does that mean that they're a bad investment? Absolutely not. If you look historically at what emerging markets have done, they either have really good years and really bad years. It's different. And it's a collection of different countries with different rules and different governments and different business operations and different ways in which cash is exchanged and money is exchanged. It's different. You know, we grew up in a world, because we're so privileged to be here in the United States, a great country that allows us the privileges of so many different things. But so too often do we limit ourselves to believing that the world needs to do things exactly the way our circle of understanding does it. You know, you think about your circle of friends, the table in which you sat around for Thanksgiving, the people that you usually hang out with on a Saturday night. These are like-minded people that you choose to hang out with, because I think you know, as you get older, we choose to hang around with people who we like hanging around with. It was actually in high school where we were somewhat forced to hang around with everybody. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We embraced all different types of styles, all different types of backgrounds, all different types of everything. But as we get older, we sometimes, not even intentionally, choose to hang around with people who we like hanging around with, because we say, you know what? Life is too darn short. If I got a free night on a Saturday night, I don't want to be challenged by somebody. I don't want to hang around with somebody I don't know. I really don't want to go to a place where I have to spend the entire night learning about this person or talking about myself. I just want to just hang out and just relax. But we get so enclosed in our lifestyle, in our living, when we take a look, when we stop realizing what else happens outside of our own country, even our own, I mean, our own country, our own state, our own city, our just everywhere. Look, imagine lifestyle. Imagine growing up in Northampton, Massachusetts. Imagine what the lifestyle, the circle of life is like in Northampton, as opposed to the circle of life that you surround yourself with each and every weekend. Now imagine how it could be like in Alabama or Minnesota or Wyoming or Denver or any of these places. Now you could imagine it, I bet, in the suburbs of New York. You could imagine what life is like in perhaps even in Florida or maybe even in Los Angeles or San Francisco. But when you think about other parts of the country, and we've got a big, big country out there, folks, people's beliefs, people's intentions, people's way of life, what they choose to do on a Saturday night, how they choose to have dinner, it's all different. Look, we're very proud of the fact that we have so many restaurants here that are small business restaurants, people that start up these restaurants and put a lot of money and effort in it. Look, I look at a restaurant, Alto, that's right down below me in my office. I'm on the first floor, I'm on the second floor, Alto's on the first floor. It's owned by Dan and Daniela Mamola. They've got Polana. They've got Daniela's. Here are two local people. They're not running a chain restaurant. They're not running an Outback Steakhouse or a Pizza Hut. They're running a specific restaurant that is really thriving, run by two local people. If you go to parts of the mid part of the country, you won't find many of restaurants like what Dan and Daniela do. But you'll find lots of Outbacks, you'll find lots of Pizza Huts, you'll find lots of Carrabba's and all of these other chain restaurants. That's what's there. Life is different, folks. Life is different. We like to go local shopping and we support local businesses. You go other places in the country, Walmart's all you have. Target is all you have. It's a different way of thinking. And I'm trying to think of why I even got onto that subject. But now I know why. As I'm thinking, as I'm talking, I'm trying to say, how did I get there? My point was, is that when we think about the importance of international investing, sometimes we don't even know why we're buying things, why we're buying international investments. But we know it's the right thing to do because over time, those cultures will change. They'll learn from us. We'll learn from them. It will all be better. It could even be even better for them than it is for us here. We need to stay invested in international investments, even though they are down for the year. Look, bonds. Everybody talked about how bad bonds were going to be when interest rates have gone up. Interest rates have gone up this year. They've gone up a few times. Have bonds been a really bad investment? Well, certain bonds have. But other bonds and other income-driven investments have been pretty good. They've, in fact, tempered the loss that you've felt in the stock market. So is your portfolio designed to handle the ups and downs, or does your portfolio follow the movements of the market? It's one of the things that we look at Friedman Financial when we're examining your investment portfolio and examining how your investments align with your true goals. Because chances are, for many, your investments will represent one part of the income that you will need in retirement. The other parts might come from ongoing part-time employment. It might come from Social Security. It might come from a pension. And what's rather interesting is that when you hit age 70 and a half, you're going to be faced with this thing called a minimum distribution. And it still amazes me how many people don't understand how this minimum distribution thing works. Well, I guess to me that's a good thing because it keeps me in business. But it's really important. And you want to be sure that you do this in the smartest possible way. You see, when you turn 70 and a half, and I know, yeah, you can wait until the April following your 70 and a half birthday, but the best way that I think you look at this is you say, okay, the year in which I will turn 70 and a half, that's going to be the year in which I must take my first distribution from my IRA. Now, if you have your investment account at a bank or with some type of an investment account, the investment company will let you know that, hey, it's approaching your 70 and a half birthday. You need to take this distribution. And they'll keep pestering you to take it. And how much is that distribution? Usually around a little more than 3.5% is what that number usually is the first year. But here's the challenge. It's possible, in fact, more often than not, it's very possible that you have retirement accounts in more than one place. Perhaps you still have an old 401k with a previous employer. Perhaps you set up an IRA CD at the bank years and years ago. Perhaps you set up an IRA at an annuity company or with a brokerage company or wherever else it might have been. And while some of the companies might be reminding you that you need to take this required minimum distribution, some of the others, they don't have the obligation to do that. It's up to you. The onus is on you to understand how much you need to take. So how do you figure out how much you need to take from your required minimum distribution? Well, what you really need to get is all of the values of your account as of the year end prior to your 70 and a half birthday. So that's that December 31st statement from everything. So you got to gather them all together and you add up all of those numbers, because all of those numbers have already been reported to the IRS. And the IRS has that aggregate number, and it's attached to your Social Security number. And the IRS knows that this year when you file your tax return, they're going to match up. They're going to say, here's your Social Security number. Here's the amount of money that you had at the beginning of the year of all of your IRAs, all of your retirement accounts. And here's how much money we need to make sure that this client or you took as a distribution from your IRA. And if you didn't, that's an easy, easy red flag. And no one likes to get those letters from the IRS. Nobody at all. You want to be sure as you're approaching retirement that all of your retirement IRAs, 401ks, anything that is a retirement account has been consolidated all to one place. Oh, but Mark, that means I'm putting all my assets in one, all my eggs in one basket. I can't do that. No, that's not what that means. What that means is you want to be able to wrap your arms around all of your retirement accounts. Put them all on one statement with one company. But within that company, you can buy everything, anything, all sorts of different investments. You can have 4,000 different investments. You can have 4 different investments. You can, but it's still held within that one umbrella of the IRA. That way, you're not subject to the 50% penalty imposed by the IRS if you don't take the right amount from your retirement account. Folks, we see this happen all the time. So one of the things that we take great pride in our office is making sure that your required minimum distribution is met always. Sonia, who's been my operations manager for more than 10 years now, has been responsible for this. We send out more than $1.5 million in distributions to our clients every month. And Sonia's responsible for it. And never once have we been dinged for a penalty from the IRS for any of our clients. We get it done. We get it done right. We make sure that everything is taken care of. That's one of the things you can count on from Friedman Financial. And this is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We got to take a quick break. But when I get back, I'm going to tell you about a story that appeared in my newsletter this past week. And it was something that came to light to me that I totally and completely forgot about. And when I heard about it, I said, oh my God, I better check on this right now. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you doing this morning? Hope you're doing well. You guys got a few more weeks to start doing your Christmas shopping. Hanukkah starts tonight. First candle gets lit tonight. It's interesting, at the Friedman family house, we're not quite sure who's going to be home tonight. I got my son Jerry is still in Rome. Mindy's living in Brookline. Alana's down at URI preparing for finals. Corey and Noah, they live at home, but they are so darn busy, you just never know if they're going to be home. So Laura and I might be lighting the candle all alone tonight. We shall see. But hope you're all doing well. I'm sitting here in the studios of North Shore 104.9, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the Alto Forno restaurant. We provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live in the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, give our office a call. What a great New Year's resolution. What a Christmas present. What a holiday present to give to your spouse. The gift of financial peace of mind. Wouldn't that be awesome? All you need to do is give my office a call. We'll schedule you up for after the first of the year. It's a free initial consultation. Come on in. See us. We'll send you some information in advance. You can take a look at how we do it and how we've been doing it for 50 years. I'm going to tell you something. When you read and when you see about what it is that we do in our office, you're going to realize that there is something different about this. There's a reason why Friedman Financial has a 98% retention rate. The reason why the other two people leave, they die or they move somewhere else. And we just say, you know, there are certain states where we can help you. But other times when you like move out to California or out to Denver, Colorado, or out to New Mexico somewhere, we'd prefer to find you another financial advisor that can help you because we can't do the best job for you. So if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Also, if you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, we put out 7,500 newsletters every single Friday at 10:30. It'll land in your inbox. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. And speaking of the newsletter, I want to tell you a little bit about a story that just appeared this past week in my newsletter that Jody, my assistant, found. And when she told me about this story, I said, oh my God, I better look into this. And usually I feel like I stay on top of a lot of stuff, but this one that was one that that might have slid under the radar. So, I don't know how many of you travel, and when you go to the airport, you see there's two lines that are up. There's the general population line, which no one likes to stand in, where you have to remove your shoes, take your laptops out of your bag, empty your pockets, take all of the liquids out, move through it, put your hands up over your head, get a full body scan, then get a pat down afterwards. That's the general population line. And then there's that other line over to the left. It's called TSA Pre. That line that is generally shorter and a lot easier to go through. You don't have to take off your jacket. Well, actually, I think they ask you to take off your jacket. But you don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. All you got to do is remove a couple of medals. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to pull out your liquids, nothing. Just throw it all up on the conveyor belt. You walk through that metal detector that is the same one they use, I think, at the Boston Garden when you're going to see a game. It's real easy. You're in, you're out. TSA Pre was the greatest invention as far as I'm concerned. So why do I tell you this story? Well, it turns out, believe it or not, that in December this month, 45,000 people who signed up for TSA Pre will see their TSA Pre membership expire. I know you want to scream. What I mean is that what we forget about is that when we got TSA Pre, it was good for 5 years. So the first people of the five-year expiration is hitting this month. When did you get your TSA Pre? When is your renewal month? You're not going to get a notice from the government that says, oh, hey, by the way, TSA Pre is coming to a close for you. You know why you're not going to get that? Because we've decided we don't want to give the government our email address and we don't want to be bugged by them. So it's up to us to figure that out. However, TSA Pre has been nice and they've updated their website. recognizing that renewals are now something that are going to happen. And let me tell you, just because there was 45,000 people that signed up in December, there's probably 90,000 that signed it up in January, and probably 180,000 that signed, because think about all the people that have kind of cumulatively added on to this whole TSA pre thing, right? So I, of course, checked myself, because I'm usually one of these leading people that try some of these technologies. I wanted to say, oh my goodness, I'm traveling in December. Is my TSA pre going to expire? How'd you like to get into that line? You know, you're all cocky and stuff, because you probably already have it loaded into your app. If you use Fly JetBlue, you fly Delta, you fly American, when you type in your ticket number and you type in your reservation, the TSA pre number, hey, it already pops up. It already pre-populates. You don't even think about it. You just know that when you have your boarding pass, you're going to the TSA pre line. You don't need to go to that general population line. You go to this better line where you go TSA pre and you just flash the thing and the guy goes, yeah, go ahead. How'd you like to be stopped? So if you need to go, if you should go to the TSA pre website, take a look. All you need to do is give them three pieces of information. The three pieces of information are your known traveler number. That's that KTN number. That's what your TSA pre number is. You got to type that in. You got to type in your date of birth. And you have to type in your legal last name, the one that they have on record, the one that's probably on your passport. You type that in, and a little window will pop up, and it will remind you when your five-year expiration date is coming up. You're allowed to renew your known traveler number 6 months prior to your expiration date. You just got to pay another $75 or $85 is the renewal fee to do this. You just have to do it, right? Now, in my case, I've probably got TSA pre numbers for all of my kids too. And they all got TSA pre at different times. So is it my responsibility to track it all for them? Is it their responsibility now that some of them are adults? Well, that's what computers are for, right? We all have calendars built into our phones. I would go right now, go after this show. Don't go right now because I want you to listen to the rest of the show. But after the show's over, go to TSA PreCheck, type in your known traveler number, type in your date of birth, type in your last name, and find out when your renewal date is. And put the day that you can re-up your TSA pre number into your phone. Put that date in there. I've done it. You should do it. It's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. How's that for a little one? I mean, that is a good one, because the last thing I want to know is having a problem when I get to the airport, because honestly, I don't follow the guideline of you need to show up 2.5 hours before your flight, because, hey, I have TSA pre. I can just go right through. Well, if you don't, you don't. And you don't want to argue with the government, or certainly with those TSA pre people that love to run their hands all over you, especially if they sense anything. I mean, have you ever taken a look at the little scanner thing that they do when you go through with your hands up and the little wheel spins around, you takes the full x-ray and they say, wait here, sir. If you look over your left shoulder, there's a picture of you. Now, granted, it's a silhouette and it'll show all of the challenging areas that they may need to pat down a bit. So it's always interesting to see what they're looking for. You'll see a red or a black, red or a green to go, but it can always show you some of the areas that you can know where they're going to pay special attention. So I much prefer the TSA pre line. How's that for something? You know, so something else I wanted to tell you. So last segment, I was talking about required minimum distributions, and my producer had asked if when you need to figure out your required minimum distribution, is that something that a firm like ours does? Do we actually do the calculation for you? Do we request the money for you? Do we withhold the proper federal tax and state withholdings for you? And the answer to all of those things is yes. It's real important that you get this right. Required minimum distributions will be a significantly more likely violation of an IRS rule as you get older, because you'll simply forget about it. It is something that you want to make sure that you're taking care of. A 50% penalty is significant. Now, I don't think the IRS is looking to throw, you know, 90-year-old grandmothers in jail for not taking their required minimum distribution. there will probably be some levels of leniency, of course, that is offered. But hey, I wouldn't want to be facing that. I wouldn't even want to have to deal with it. Not at all. I think you should make sure that if you have retirement accounts, and oftentimes you have several retirement accounts, perhaps it's an IRA CD sitting at the bank, perhaps you've got an IRA money market account, perhaps you have an old 401k, a 403b, a 457 plan, money that's in an annuity, money that's in a brokerage account that are all under some type of a retirement umbrella. Perhaps it's an old SEP IRA, an old KEO plan, an old solo 401k. All of those things are all countable towards calculating your required minimum distribution when you turn 70 and a half. You want to make sure you do that right, because if you don't take enough money in that calendar year, 50% penalty. Now, how much, once again, people always ask me, what's the amount that I have to take? It's a little bit more than 3.6%. But we can calculate the right number. You can take out more than that if you want. Absolutely, you can take out more. Now, do you have to take it out all at once? Oh, no. Many people choose to say, you know what? If I have to take out $24,000 over the course of the year, maybe I'll take out $2,000 a month. Now, are you required to spend it? No. You don't have to spend that money. You can put it into your savings account. You can put it into your personal investment account. You can do whatever you want with the money. But you know what you do have to do, though? You have to list it on your tax return to see whether it is subject to income tax. And chances are it will be. And you'll either owe taxes on it at tax time, or you can have taxes withheld from your distribution. We do that for you. We will withhold the taxes for you to make sure that you don't have to worry about it come tax time. That and a lot of other things that we do at our office. One of the things that we want to make sure that we do during your retirement years is help you replace your paycheck. Now, your money might come from a few different sources. You might have money coming from Social Security. You might have money coming from a pension. You might have dividends that come from certain stocks that you own. But you may also have to take a distribution from your IRA. And we want to make sure that you're taking the right amount in the most tax-efficient manner so that you pay the least amount of taxes than you need to support your lifestyle in retirement. That's good planning. That has nothing to do with what investments you own, but that's just good planning. But you put a good investment strategy together with great planning, and you can live the life potentially that you want in retirement. You can achieve that financial peace of mind that you want. And you can find comfort in knowing that you did a good job all those years putting your financial life together, preparing for the golden years. And let me tell you, it's more than golden years, because golden years ago used to be a few years. If you retire in your 60s, folks, you probably got 30 years ahead of you. So there's a lot of golden years. There's a golden rainbow. There's a long, long, long trek that you want to be sure you've got covered. We want to help you get there. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're scheduling free initial consultations for the first of the year. Let us help you get your financial house in order. Let us help you with your New Year's resolution to really set your foot forward for the next and many years to come. And that's going to do it for me. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday. Have a great week. I'll be back again next Sunday. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial. Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.